These are the voices of absolute bravery. Two women who went on the flotilla to Gaza and were imprisoned on an Israeli warship speak out at Hyde Park in Sydney. Since these speeches, they have met with the Honourable Penny Wong. And to hear a chilling account of that, please listen to Michael West's interview with documentary filmmaker Juliette Lamont. Today, Juliette speaks alongside Jewish anti-Zionist speaker Annie Mercator. Just for the record, France and Spain have fiercely condemned the treatment of their citizens by Israeli soldiers, and together with Ireland and Italy, they've pushed the EU and the UN to consider sanctions on Israeli officials. France has opened a war crimes probe. So Australia has quite a way to go in standing up for these very brave people.
Like, it's one thing being a sailor and then trying to deliver baby food and critical medicine and prosthetic limbs for children and titanium plates that they need to mend together multiple fractures in their bones. But it's another thing being someone public speaking. I find this terrifying. So, hang in. I just got a text message from my mother and she said, "Juliet, please don't swear." But I'm going to say F Albanese and his moral ineptitude and his pretend that when he was a student supporter of Palestine. I'm going to say F the Foreign Minister Penny Wong and her faux concern for what happened to our bodies. I'm going to say F genocide. I'm going to say F Zionism, and I'm going to say dealing with the two-way arms trade and our integral parts that we do supply Israel. Without some of the parts that we make in this country on this stolen land, there would be no 2,000-pound bombs coming out of the guts of the F-35 fighter jets. So them too. And now I'll stop swearing and maybe my daughter can edit that bit out and give it to my mum. What was really amazing about this flotilla compared to the last one, we got really close. We got 24 nautical miles away from Gaza. We could see it. Every atom of our being thought that we would get there. This time we were in international waters. We were 270 nautical miles away. We were south of Cyprus and the hubris and the arrogance of the Israeli occupation forces to intercept us in broad daylight. I mean, they still wear balaclavas because they know when the war crimes go through The Hague, they will be punished. I suppose the disappointment of not getting as close as the last time was then fulfilled with the realization that because 428 ordinary people from all across the world, journalists, nurses, teachers, my daughter was one of them. Because I don't use the word torture lightly, and I don't think that happened last time, but it happened this time. We were systematically tortured, sexually assaulted, waterboarded. I was raped by an Israeli soldier. I was kicked so hard in the small of my back that they've broken my coccyx. And that was just the beginning of a relentless, calculated system of punishment and psychological and physical torture that went on for about 5.5 days. This is not to diminish what happens to Palestinians every single day. We got the five-star treatment. We are able to come back to this country, this stolen land, and the ongoing genocide of the First Nations people, and we're able to talk about our treatment, and suddenly it's a news story. And that is a shame. Because why has it taken over 8 decades for us to even care about Palestinian bodies? And we need to do everything that we can as a collective power. We need to escalate. We know the weapons companies that are in Australia. We need to get on their roofs. We need, it's probably going to get me into trouble, but we need to smash the shit out of these death cults. And we need to get rid of the Israeli ambassador. We need to force a meeting with Albanese and Penny Wong. We need to not let the people who perpetuate the violence investigate their own crimes. And we need to stop arming Israel. We need to stop even giving them air conditioners or any food. Whatever it is we give to the Israeli regime, we need to stop it now.
Absolutely.
And we have so much power together. The hubris and the arrogance of Ben-Gvir's video, that was like that was the tip of the iceberg compared to what actually happened. Ben-Gvir is not a bad egg. He is not, this evil, terror. He is symptomatic and illustrative of every single Israeli person in the government and the people who support them. So we need to dismantle. I know people think that's radical, but we do need to dismantle Zionism. And what they don't know is that love and solidarity is something that cannot be bombed, that cannot be raped, that cannot, love cannot be broken. And we have so much love together. And we will continue to fight until Palestine is free. Globalize the Intifada.
Thank you so much. I want to finally, for our flotilla speakers, introduce Annie from Jews Against the Occupation 48 and the Loud Jew Collective. Make her welcome.
Hi, thanks for letting me speak here. The flotilla, it's the first time I've had an opportunity to speak, so I'm not so au fait with it. I've written it all down. I'll talk about the spirit of the flotilla, the bravery of the Palestinian people, and the barbaric and psycho-monstrosity known as the IOF. I do so as an anti-Zionist Jewish participant who sailed with the GSF on an international mission to break the illegal blockade of the port of Gaza. I sailed to defy DFATs and the Australian government's position, which enables Israel's piracy in the Mediterranean. With this as its political goal, the humanitarian goal of the GSF is to deliver aid, messages of support and hope to those in the occupied Gaza and occupied Palestine. So participating in this journey became one of the important experiences of my life. It's been close to 2 weeks since I've been back, and yet I feel as if I'm still on the boat with my comrades and we still hope to reach Gaza. I feel shame that we didn't make it to help the Palestinian people, and shame at our government's response to our attempt. And yet I take kind of heart that the word Sumud in the global Sumud flotilla emulates the Arabic word Sumud, meaning steadfastness and perseverance. It's a symbol of the resistance and dedication to hope that the Palestinian people in Gaza have. We'd hoped that we could break the siege, even though we knew the odds of this happening were very much against us. In fact, hope was one of the most important aspects of our mission, and it almost became a valued friend on the boats. The hope that the engines wouldn't fail, the sails wouldn't collapse, the Starlink network would persevere, the batteries would last, the whole crew wouldn't get seasick at the same time, and that we'd get used to washing bodies and plates in the sea. And that no matter what, we wouldn't be afraid and we'd take what came as a consequence of our act of defiance. I don't want to talk too much about our kidnapping and illegal imprisonment by Israel, as I'm sure many of you have followed the barbaric actions of Zionist Israel's IOF towards the flotilla participants, and my colleagues have spoken to that. I want to speak about the Israeli Zionist project as it appears to me, an anti-Zionist Jew and a child of Holocaust survivors. I want to speak about my experience amongst Zionist jailers. I've long been aware of Israel's project to draw the world into its xenophobic, Machiavellian and megalomaniac perspectives. And as an Australian, I've seen how our government, regardless of party politics, has become hostage to the Zionist agenda. How politicians have been literally bought and wedded to the Zionist ideology, and how aspects of our civil society and cultural heritage are being proscribed by Zionist thuggery. The Australian government, once again, has capitulated to Zionist Israel. Albanese has become a pawn in a game which affects so many aspects of our democracy, whatever that word now implies. From the decisions about what is portrayed in our media to what happens in our streets and at our demonstrations like these, to who has a voice in our royal commissions and to who holds power in our councils. I want to talk about what is at the heart of Zionist racist project, and actually I suspect that we all know, but that we easily forget, that the project of Zionism is to turn the people of Australia and the world against the Palestinians, and further, to incite Islamophobia and hatred of Arabs. I mean, this is an exercise of pure opportunism. This is, of course, not so hard in Australia, a colony, still in the grip of racism. Our First Nations people know about genocide, they know about ongoing racism and governmental ineffectiveness as an inherent aspect of colonialisation. The persistent structural racism towards Indigenous Australians indeed testifies to Australia's easy support of genocidal colonial projects. What's happening in Palestine with genocide, with apartheid, is the desecration of the sacred consideration of the Jewish ethos that I grew up with and still believe in. Never again is never again for everyone. Because through the desecration of the notion of everyone to not all everyone's, the concept of victimhood that the Jewish people have genuinely held is now being used as a manipulative tool and has become emblematic of a people who have lost their humanity. This is what I saw when we were abducted, as we were being terrorised and threatened by what seemed to be robots with faulty wiring, but were in fact children of Zionism, young Zionists who called themselves Jews. Played out before me in the eyes, faces and demeanour of the Israeli soldiers whose guns were constantly trained on us, who threatened us with death, who beat my comrades, who violated my friends and who wanted to kill us. I saw the depraved children of the Zionist regime, a cult whose humanity has been lost between the ideologies of victimhood and oppressor. A reverse dramaturgy in which retribution to the world has turned into a recreation of the Holocaust, in which the victims become the perpetrators, and in which Israelis can live out their fantasy of retribution. When 180 of us were pushed into the space of 10 metres by IOP soldiers with their weaponry and their masks, our hands held high above our head, when the tension in their bodies was palpable and the urgency of their movements was terrifying, all I could think of was the images I'd seen as a child of naked men and women standing hands held high in front of what would become their graves within seconds of the photograph being taken. Or the child small like me when I first saw her at about the age of 6, hands high walking in front of a group towards the cattle truck that would take her and her family to the camps and death. What is this madness that lets the world relive these images again of dead children, murdered families, destroyed hospitals? And we know the list by heart. It goes on and on. These images are carried out in real time, carried out with impunity by the youths who have been brainwashed into a killing cult. The Palestinians will rise, and I believe that. And I have the belief in their sumud, in their humanity. I have belief that Hamas, and I'll say the word, Hamas, will do what it does because I understand that it plays out the same trauma. A few weeks ago, when we were still on the boat, we were in a Zoom with a young Palestinian working as an NGO with women and children in Gaza. He spoke to us with his heart and he said, "We know you may not succeed, but for us what matters is that you are coming, that you want to come, and that you see us and you care. This gives us hope and this brings us comfort, that you show the world we are here. Don't feel bad if you don't make it." But I do feel bad, and I feel like I have to keep ramming the vessels we sail into the consciousness of the Zionists and the world. I know that our aid lies at the bottom of the sea. Our medicines, insignificant as they were to the larger picture, might wash up somewhere in Turkey. But it shouldn't just be up to us to bring aid, but to international governments. It was Penny Wong who told the UN that Australia would stand behind and deliver aid by community groups if it had to. Except us, of course. I know that Sumud is what they continue to have in Palestine, and that Sumud is what we need as activists and what we use to continue the fight to free Palestine. I know we'll sail again, and I'll sail because I know that we are expected there. So I hope we do more than chant. I hope we act. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.